Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there we go. All right, this is hour two of the Redneck and I's All Things Trucking and Then Some. We had a little problem with the on-air portion of the streaming, the podcast. So we're back up and running, and we're starting hour number two. And just kind of kicking back, relaxing, talking about driver training and how truck drivers have to go through continuing training, just always taking tests and watching videos and maybe taking classes and have to get recertified and all that stuff. And then, you know, four-wheelers, they don't do that. You know, they went in high school, they went and got their driver's license, and then after that, nobody's ever told them anything different about how to drive, you know. And sometimes they learn, sometimes they'll get into accidents or they'll break the law and they might get their license suspended. And then once they, you know, I don't even know what they do. It's suspended for a year and then you get it back. Do you have to take another class? Do you have to take a test? What do you have to do? You know, they do that where the defensive driving stuff, where you can take a class to get a speeding ticket dismissed. I think they do all that online too, like truck driving. But I mean, what does that do? You know, I'll tell you what, going through that class, if it's a class that you have to watch like maybe 20 videos that are like, you know, 30 minutes long, that might be something. I mean, some of them truck driving videos, they're long and they're a pain in the butt, but that's our job at home. So, you know, it's not that bad. So, but yeah, check us out at redneckandis.com. And we've got a website there. We've got a store. We sell t-shirts. We've got hats. We've got beanie caps. And we've even got some masks that's got the Redneck and I's logo on them. And I've got mine laying around here somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I don't know about y'all, but I carry like around two or three with me all the time. And then I've got a couple of neck gaiters. That's what they're called now, I guess, is a neck gaiter, where, you know, it's one of those things that goes around your neck and you can pull it up over your face. A lot of different places are selling those. I like the real thin ones. They seem to hug real good, especially if you've got a big head like me. It'll snug up against your mouth real good and not go anywhere. And you can pull it up over your head, you know, and if you like a bandana or whatever, you can pull them up and make them fold them and make them look like a bandana. So it's pretty cool. And they sell thicker ones that are long and all that. So those are pretty cool to have. Somebody said some kind of test was done, and those neck gaiters, they don't really do that well for, like, you know, protecting against germ spreading or anything like a regular mask would. A lot of these masks that you buy online that are like washable, they're like two ply, where there's like a thicker layer underneath and then the decorative layer on the outside, and then you wash it and it's I got one of those from what is it called, Tommy Copper. They're the ones that sell like the sleeves and the knee braces and all that. It seems to be holding up pretty good. It's thin, but it's got two ply where it protects itself, and I've even used that one going to the gym, and it, you know, even breathing hard, you know, didn't really restrict anything. I don't like wearing them, but, you know, we have to get through it. And I think that nobody is going to be wanting to do anything in person, like they canceled this truck show. I think the deal is the restrictions on social distancing and like mask wearing are probably going to continue. They're going to probably let things open back up, but they're still going to recommend social distancing. Now, I'm not real sure about the way the laws are set up, but I bet you a lot of these places like Walmarts and shopping malls and restaurants, they're probably going to keep their rules in place even though the government doesn't restrict them, because people are just afraid. People are just scared. And I don't know who is scaring them, but I mean, it's everybody. You know, you got government officials, you got some doctors. Some doctors out there saying it's no big deal. Other doctors saying, oh, it's a big deal. We're all going to die. You know, so that, and you try to do your best to get educated on that kind of stuff. You know, just how I was talking about before, about being educated and getting things done the way you feel need to be done for you, the best for you. And there's a lot of things you just don't know. And, you know, I think the funniest thing is they say, you know, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer and all that. And, you know, how many people weren't washing their hands? Why are they so focused on washing their hands? Who doesn't wash their hands? You know, so what's the deal with that? But I guess people weren't washing their hands. I think it's funny that all before this happened, we were, you would go to a restroom and they'd have the hand sanitizer dispenser right there on the in and out when you go in the door and everything. Well, it was always empty. There's never a refill, never a refill. And then when the shutdown happened and everything started, everybody got refilled. Everything was refilled. Everywhere you went, there was a hand sanitizer dispenser that was like automatic. You go there, boom, it's done. It's, oh man, oh yeah, let's get it. And checkout, when you went to Walmart and you had to check out, there was a hand sanitizer, you could squeeze it right there before you touch the pad or after you touch the keypad to pay and everything, you could, there's hand sanitizer right there, boom, get what you need. Well, I was in the convenience store the other day and they had one of those dispensers right there and I went up to use it and it was empty again. So I guess that, you know, that everybody's done with that now. Nobody's concerned about hand sanitizer anymore like they were. So, you know, but we're still kind of technically locked down on everything and we're forced to wear masks and stuff. So I think it's some companies consider it to be a big deal. Other companies, like some stores, they're not going to want to do it. They're not going to let you do it. Denny's is not open all night in some places. IHOP is. I was out late one night and decided I was going to go get some breakfast, you know, like you do, and Denny's was closed. Denny's was not open. IHOP was open, but IHOP was at like 50%, so a lot of empty tables, and there was a long wait. So I was like, this ain't worth it, you know, let's get out of here. Those kind of things are still going on. You know, I haven't been to a truck stop like a Petro or anything in a while. I was wondering what's going on with those guys. Are they shutting down during the night? Are they staying open 24/7? Are they letting the truck drivers sit at the professional driver area there? I know that it was like a bar. And, I mean, a lot of times drivers would sit a seat apart anyway because you had more elbow room if you did that. If very rarely would you go there and drivers would sit right next to each other all around the counter. I mean, that was hardly ever happened. If you went in there and there was the only open seats were the ones in between the drivers, some people would just go sit at another table. They would sit because there's not a lot of elbow room, you know, so you kind of just would rather go sit by yourself at a table. So I'm not sure if they making people do that. I actually was at an airport 2 weeks ago, and they have restaurants, you know, in that area because the security thing and all that, and they even had like tables closed down. They only had, the bar was really long where it could hold like 8 seats, but they only had 4 total, and a couple was sitting together and they scooted together to be together, and then that took up all the seats, so you couldn't even squeeze another person. They wouldn't let you. They had to. It was like I said, it was 8 spaces, and they only had 4 chairs there, and they only allowed 4 chairs. So if you had 2 and you scooted all the way down to the corner with those 2, you couldn't scoot up another one right there in the middle from where that one scooted all the way down. You know, so it's silly, stupid. You know, and of course you go in there, and as soon as you sit at the bar, you take your mask off because you got to, you know, you're going to drink or eat or whatever. So, you know, things how that happens. But yeah, I can't believe it that Dallas decided they were going to close, they were going to cancel their show. I just don't make no sense to me. You know, we could you know, it's it does, just because they say they're canceling it now doesn't mean that they can, you know, they can figure it out. They can get it done. If like January, February, and everything's fine, and we say, hey, let's get the show back going up again, they can get it done. They can get it done. Believe me. Okay? Because like us, the organizations that try to get into these shows, we all want to try to plan ahead. But I don't know if they're not planning ahead or that we're not big enough to be involved in their, you know, they just said in the article that they start planning a year in advance. Well, I never know that because I never see that. You know, as an organization, we're trying to get in to those shows and trying to, you know, like allow to be set up or allow to be in the parking lot. It's kind of like they don't get to us like maybe until another, you know, 2 or 3 months in advance. That's about it. So don't say that it's impossible for them to get something going again if in another 6 months it turns out to be nothing and they can get back going again. That's not hard. They can do it. They can do it. And I think that we need to keep pushing on them to do that, to get going again, because it'll be all right. I think that once, of course, if you ask anybody that follows politics, they'll tell you that as soon as election's over, it's all going to go away. No matter who wins, it's all going to go away. Because they're going to, you know, it's because it's all about who's in charge and who's shut down, who's not shut down. I mean, you know, they're not even agreeing on getting people the extended unemployment or stimulus or whatever. They can't even agree on that. And, you know, we're out here working. Truck drivers are working, you know. So I don't know what the holdup is. But yeah. This radio show, it's on the Unplugged Radio Network, and it is pretty awesome. There are 5 different shows during the week. You got a show on Tuesday night, you got a show on Wednesday night, you got a show on Thursday night, and then a show on Friday night. Then you got this show on Sunday night. And that's all on the same number, 516-387-1733. It's awesome. You know, you got just every, you know, if it's maybe you like one show over the other, or you like listening and not talking to somebody or not talking to anybody, you can do that. So I think that's great. It's always great to talk and it's just getting to just talk about trucking. I don't know, man. I love trucking. So getting to talk about it and talking to other people about trucking, you know, trying to get the 2 cents of everybody else, it's pretty awesome. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take another little break here. And fire up some more Bill Weaver. How about that?
In the morning, I'll be packing up. Up my old truck, roll down that road. Your picture on the dashboard, thinking about how long I'll be before I get home. Well, I set my visor for the sunrise as it burns into my eyes, and the thought of you starts burning on my mind. I'm rolling. Interstate, trying to get back to you, that's why I'm rolling. It's hard work and I guarantee that it's a damn hard life, but still I'm rolling. From the first time that I shifted gears, it burned into my soul. Guess you could say that's how I like to roll. I'm rolling. We'll be right back. yellow lines and white lines go forever. Any driver knows that's true. There's a road map in my mind. Somehow I find it always leads me back to you. If the wind blows in my favor and I cross by more state lines, well, I'll hold you in my arms tomorrow night. I'm rolling. I'm rolling down this interstate trying to get back to you. That's why I'm rolling. It's hard work and I guarantee that it's a damn hard life, but still I'm rolling. From the first time that I shit the gears, it burned into my soul. Guess you could say that's how I like to roll. I'm rolling.
Good old friend Bill Weaver there. He's pretty awesome. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to getting the truck shows back and going, so we'll have a better opportunity to to spend time with those performers like Taylor Barker and Bill Weaver. And shoot, there's so many of them. They just, some of them, we don't even know they're coming or not. They're there. And then we're like, anybody want to play? And next thing you know, we got them on the mic and they're picking and grinning. It's pretty awesome. So yeah, we got a website. It's redneckandeyes.com. We got a store and we've got you could check out pictures from past truck shows. You know, it's not anything fancy or anything, but we do put up some, and we got some videos. We got a YouTube channel. We've got a lot of cool videos talking about, trucking, lease purchasing and driving. There's several videos that I made that were like directed to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks and letting them know what to look for when they're out there driving. You know, we were just talking about how they don't have any type of training for four-wheelers to continue training. Once they go to high school and they get their driver's license, they don't, after that, renew their license online. They never have to go to any kind of classes or anything like truck drivers do. So Redneck and I, we made a few videos on YouTube that were directed to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks, especially. Like giving truck drivers plenty of space, giving the trucks plenty of space, get out of their way. You know, maybe even speed up a little bit. Just, if you're kind of dilly-dallying around there where we're just kind of going by, that kind of thing. Just get on around it. Go. Get out of the way. I was talking to a safety guy from Swift years ago, and he got invited to go on a radio channel on Sirius XM, and he was like, that was stupid. And he's like, well, people are going to call in. They're going to ask you about being around big trucks. And he's like, yeah, get away from them. They're like, well, what happens if a truck driver, get away from them? What happens if I see a truck driver, get away from them? The furthest you can stay away from big trucks at all, as long as possible, as much as possible, it just reduces risks all the time through the board. So yeah, but hey, we got about a half hour left here and, we're just kind of kicking back, relaxing, talking about all things trucking and then some. We're going to go to the phone now. And I think I know who this is. Let's see here. There you are. What's going on?
How you doing, Ed?
Hey, Greg. Man, I'm doing all right. How you been?
Oh, hanging in there, buddy. I'm just trying to stay with it here.
Well, you're back over the road now. You're not doing that regional flatbed no more, are you?
Yeah. I had to get away from that 500-mile local stuff. I had to go back out with the big boys and see how the other half lived for a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I went got rid of my flatbed. Well, I didn't get rid of it. I got my flatbed. I parked it at home. Now I'm out pulling dry van. I'm hauling expedited around now. So
that's
I'm out right now. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You were where you at?
Oh, I'm out in Des Moines, Iowa now. I'm out here at John Deere. I'm supposed to deliver here at 9 o'clock, but apparently they're not going to start till 10 or 11. I don't know. So I'm unloading this and then supposed to be headed back to the house. I got some things I got to do Tuesday and Wednesday. I got a couple appointments to make, and so I go back in. And I've been out almost 2 weeks this time, so it's time to go back.
There you go. Yeah, it's a whole lot different thing. You know, like I was just mentioning before, I'm on a regular gig where I go out and come back and I'm home every night. So I haven't been to any of the big truck stops here since all this kind of stuff happened. So I'm not real sure. Are they open all night like Petro, or is the restaurant open all night? Or are they closed, or can you get it?
I don't really know, I mean, I go in and it seems like every time I go in there, they're closed or something. I mean, they got walk-in where you go in and, you got to order off the, order off the takeout menu and carry it out. But I was just telling Tiffany there yesterday, I said, I'm so sick of cheeseburgers and Subway and Taco Bell and stuff. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Every time you go to a restaurant, what they do is they don't have a menu. You have to have those little scan codes on the table. And when you scan the code with your phone, you get the menu online. Like it'll pop up on the internet, and it's hard to read that way because it's not that easy to just scan over on the phone. You know, it's easy if you had a big menu there, and you can just kind of scan over everything. But now you got to scroll, and it takes longer. So I kind of like wanting to see what they all had. I've never been to the restaurant before, and it kind of took a while. So the waiter came up and said, "Well, I'll recommend this stuff, this stuff." I said, "You know what? That sounds good. I'll take that."
I'm at the point now. I walk in there. They start that now. I just turn around, walk out. I just go out, get me a burger, and go eat it, and go on. I told her, I said, "It's time. Come home, get a decent meal." You know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the waiters sure do appreciate it when you go to these restaurants, especially the you know, I'm not saying that the truck stop ones, you know, but if you go to a restaurant that's like a steakhouse or anything, I mean, they're kissing your butt because they need people going to those restaurants. And I think this past 2 or 3 months, I've been to a couple of different places, and they seem to be, the customer service is way better than it's ever been before, because it's like they're thankful you're there. Because they know that, you know, you don't have to be there, and you probably don't want to be there because of the masks and a lot of the places, there's a long wait, and like, I don't hang around if it's a long wait. What I'd like to do, if they had reservations, you could call ahead and say, "I'll be there in an hour," but they don't even do that. So I don't like waiting, but when I go in there, I want them to kiss my butt, and I think that's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, like I said, I'm not into all that. I just do what I do. I mean, it seems like, you know, well, it's just like when this virus all started, you know, everybody, you know, the essential workers, the truck drivers, you know, everybody was locked down, everybody was shut down, everybody had to stay home and quarantine and everything, and nobody was allowed out except truck drivers and the police and fire and medical and everything, you know, and everybody, all the trucks, you know, well, you know, well, we got to keep running, you know, we got to save the world, you know. Well, I said, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, as soon as this is all over with, you know, everybody was glad to see us. Everybody was, oh, yeah, the truck driver, they're the greatest people. I said, as soon as this is all over with, we're going to be right back to being just another damn truck driver in the way out here. And that's just what it went back to. And then everybody was praising everything. Now the drivers, they're all back to complaining. Well, now the car's just cutting me off, and nobody wants you here. No, hey, you asked for it. You had to know it was going to be like that. You know, you're not, this ain't your first rodeo out here. You know, that you're never going to be important out here in a truck. You are when they need you, but when they don't need you, you're just in their way. So,
yeah, I mean,
you just do what you do and go on.
Yeah, I talk to people all the time that they don't know about trucking, and so when they say, you know, it's really amazing that you do that and all that, and I don't understand why you get a bad rap. I said, well, nobody realizes that there's an individual in that big piece of machinery out there on the highway. They just think it's some kind of robot in there driving. You know,
yep.
they can cut them off or get crowded around them and all that, and really, you know, hey, they're putting themselves at risk when they do that stuff. So, you know, it's one of those things where I thought it was funny that I remember when we were out working in the yard, and you get like maybe some bugs on you, and in a fire, like we had fire ants in Texas, and that fire ant, as soon as he started biting me, of course he's going to die, because I guess the poison thing, like a bee sting, right? They die, right? It's like, well, they just committed suicide. By getting on me and biting me, they just committed suicide. Why'd they even do that? They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to bite me and commit suicide like that. But take about the four-wheelers, they get out there and they run right alongside the big truck, and it's basically committing suicide. It's like you don't have to be there. You could go away and get down the road and get away from the truck, but you don't. And then when something happens, you blame the truck. And I don't understand.
You know, it's just like these trucks has got to, you know, they got to, I don't know, it's almost like they got a nitrous button in them or something. You know, you want to get that car to move, you know, just turn the turn signal on and watch them. If they're behind you, as soon as you turn the turn signal on, they take off. You know, it's like they got to be right up there. They got to pass you. They can't follow you. They got to pass you.
I do the same thing. If they're trucking behind me like that, and they don't want to pass me, I'll put my signal on. as soon as you put the signal on, like you said, they'll either back off or they'll get in the other lane and get out of your way.
Yep.
I do the same. And you know what? Another thing is they'll get behind you and they're like right up on you where you can't see the headlights anymore. You don't, or you can't even see the car anymore because they're so close to the back of the truck. All I do is I'll kind of just like get over one side of the lane and back over to the other side of the lane and kind of, you know, make them freak out a little bit. Like, oh my God, what's that truck doing? And they back off.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was somewhere, I don't know, here, it was probably about a month ago. There was a bucket, you know, a 5-gallon pail laying on the side of the road with no lid on it. And it was laying there right there, and it was rolling back and forth right there on the shoulder of the road. I saw it laying there, and I'm thinking, well, I'm hoping that thing stays there. And I passed it, and there was a car right – I mean, he wasn't a car length off of me on the back. As soon as I passed that little 5-gallon bucket, the wind caught that bucket and sucked it in behind the trailer, and he hit it with that car. That plastic went everywhere, you know. It just exploded. He comes up, starts flipping me the bird, and brake checking me and everything else, like I threw it at him, you know. Hey,
yep.
I didn't do it, you know. I don't know. Maybe back off so you can see, you know. It's crazy the way everything goes, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. You got to hope for the best, expect the worst anymore because you know they're going to do it. You got to be on the offensive all the time out here.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Got to be on the offensive.
You know, we actually, one of the Redneck and I's videos on YouTube talks about that. If you're tailgating the truck, anything can happen where any road debris could just fly up or fly off the truck and just go right into the car. You know, I mean, we see it all the time where mud flaps will just break apart because they're old and tattered, and something hits the mud flap and it'll come off and hit the car. But just like you're saying, Nick, that the wind will grab anything and throw it behind that truck. And you just never know. Yeah. I remember there would be maybe some kind of twig or stick on the road and the truck will run over it because ain't no big deal. Well, those tires on the truck, they start chewing that thing up and throwing it everywhere. Next thing you know, it's all over the windshield and into the car and everything. So yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's
right. Right.
You never know. And that's another thing, you know, and we got a video on YouTube that explains all that, you know, debris flying off that truck, you just never know, you know.
People are just so in such a hurry anymore. It's just why? They haven't done anything for so long. You know, they claim that, you know, the economy's the way it is and everybody's losing their jobs and nobody's working and everything's so bad. Where's all these cars coming from? So they took everybody off of lockdown. It's like you can't find an empty lane on the highway now. They're in the morning. I mean, it's just as busy now with traffic as it ever was. Where are they all going? If nobody's working. Everybody's in lockdown, you know, don't have jobs and they're losing to the economy's as bad as it is. Where's all these what's all these people doing?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I live down there.
I can figure they're.
No, I'm down by the beach. Well, so the beaches were never really closed. They only told people that you needed to social distance, and the beaches were never really closed, so nobody did anything. And down here, there's parts of the beach that you can actually drive on and park the cars and camp and all that. So what they did was they only allowed like for the day. You can't stay at the beach overnight. Like you can't take an RV like you could. You used to be able to take an RV down there and stay a week. Well, now they won't let you do that no more. It's for the day, and then everybody's got to leave. It's like a curfew. You can get down there at 6 a.m. and then you got to leave by 9 p.m. Well, that was the only thing. Well, then when stuff started opening back up and restaurants started opening up a little bit, the beaches just got flooded. People were going down there. In fact, down there, my aunt, she worked for one of those rental places that rents out the beach houses and all that, and they were closed because the governor restricted all that stuff about rentals and long-term rentals and all that. And so they closed down. Well, then when they opened back up, people said, we want to come to the beach. We want to come to the beach. And it got so crowded. And there wasn't really any breakouts. There wasn't like a big thing where everybody said, oh, everybody's catching COVID on the beach. There wasn't. Nobody knew that. But the problem is nobody was really social distancing because there were so many people down there. The judge said, you know what, I'm closing the beach. So the judge closed the beach for one weekend. It was chaotic because people still came. They didn't care. They came. And what they did was is you could go on the beach. You just couldn't drive. Well, people still, they parked their car. They walked down to the beach. They didn't care. They wanted to be on the beach. And the mayor of the little local town told the judge, go kiss my ass because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to restrict it because it's too much chaotic. I'd rather have it the way it was. And, I mean, it was a big political fight down here about the beaches being closed. Because the people, just like you're saying, they tell you to stay home, but the people are like, oh, hell no. I got to get out. I'm going to the beach.
I've been wondering here couple weeks. I mean, seeing all this traffic, in the evenings and in the mornings, everything I'm thinking is it, are they actually, they actually going to work? Are they working and they're just saying that they don't have their jobs and they're not working? Or is it Black Lives Matter and Antifa and them all on shift change? I don't know. I don't know what it is. But there's something going on.
Well, and I think that one guy said on the news that 40 to 45% of all the people on unemployment listed in the federal the federal database or whatever that have jobless claims, 40 to 45% of them are coming from the state of California. So that's where all the unemployed people are, because California is still locked down. They have nothing open yet. Only essential
stuff. I'm just waiting for it to be mass confusion in Florida, because Florida opened everything back up, no restrictions or nothing. Last couple of days, he lifted all the restrictions, and they're hot on him now, and I'm thinking, they might as well just lift all the restrictions, because there's nobody paying attention to it anyhow. I mean, it is what it is. You're not going to control the people. They're trying to control everybody, and once they figure out how to control everybody, and that's they're trying to see how far they can put, and they're finding out it ain't working. So
right.
Just like Cuomo up there in New York, they're going to be a deep doo doo before it's over with, because people are getting fed up with them up there too. All these these left wing liberals and stuff, that thinks that they're it. And their job, they're going to find out come election. I think they're going to find out the people's going to revolt against them, and they're going to kick them out because they're getting tired of their nonsense. And that's what it takes, I mean, I don't know. I seen yesterday where they already canceled Randall Riley, already canceled Gats for 2021. I mean, are you serious?
Well, I was just talking about that too, I said, don't let them tell you that because they have to cancel it now that they wouldn't, like 6 months from now, if they had to decide whether or not to start it back up again, they could. It doesn't take them a whole year to plan, because we try. We always try to plan ahead, and we call them up saying, hey, are you guys planning ahead? Let's get started. When's the show going to be and all that? And they're not. They don't know. So they don't plan that far ahead.
I don't know what their issue is, I really don't. I mean, but they've got to be, it's really got to be hurting their pocket, just like, Toby Young and them down at Matt's, Randall Riley and them with Gats, G-Bats. I mean, every one of them canceled this year, but yet, they're all having all these little truck shows all over the place, having little ones everywhere. Yeah. That's fine. If that's what we need to do, then maybe we need to start figuring out something where we can all congregate at a fairground or something. And Tip and I've been talking about, trying to find somewhere, to just, we don't need these truck manufacturers. We don't need we don't need all the big money there. We can take a bunch of drivers and trucks and get together and have a hell of a good time without all the big money there and all the suits and ties. I mean, that's just, nobody cares about that anyhow anymore. Yeah, it's nice to go look at all the new technology and everything, but it's just like at Matt's and Gats, and it's the same thing every year. Nothing ever changes. It's the same people there year after year after year. you go 1 year and you see it, the next year you go, might be a little something changed, but for the most part, it's all the same. How many times do you need to go walk through that place before you say, you know what, nothing's changing, you know? We're here for the beer, you know. What, you know, it's we don't want it. You don't care anymore.
That's the thing,
you know.
Just like you're saying, we're not there to see the big people. We're there to see the truck driver. We're there to see each other and have fun together. That's what we're there for.
Exactly. And they don't want that. See, they don't want that. That's why we have all the problems that we got, because they don't want that. They want you coming over there and spending money and, well, half the stuff when you go over there, people go over there to the show. They go over there, a lot of stuff that they want to buy, you can't buy it there. You know, you got to order it, then you got to go pick it up or somewhere. They'll go to a dealer or they'll ship it to you or something. People don't want that. When they go there, they want it. They want to pay for it. They want to be able to take it with them right there and do what they do with it, you know.
Those ones that are doing that, like you're saying, those are the ones over there. They spend that big money to be on that south side over there, where all those big manufacturers are, and it all looks pretty. The best part is you go to the west wing over there. That's more like a flea market. Now those guys, they got stuff to sell there.
oh yeah, buddy.
That's the ones where you see the guys selling cell phone parts and all that stuff.
Right, yeah, they're like a bunch of crack dealers over there. Boy, you go in there, they're ready to sell you anything. You know, here, we got this. Here, you know, just slide it off. Here you go.
Yep, I mean, the guys got the mud flaps and the guys got the pocket knives, that guy, the flashlights and all that stuff. That's awesome.
Town, you go in there, you got to go in there with a translator because you have no idea what the hell they're talking about. You can't talk to them, and they're all sitting there on their cell phones, and they don't have anything. You know, you can't hardly talk to them about anything because you can't understand them.
Same way, they're not selling anything. All they're doing, they're basically there for the OEM. They're there to show Freightliner that they can make their parts. That's what they're there to do. Yeah. They're not there. They're not there for truck drivers. They, you know. In fact, I don't know why they're sitting there. They're sitting there thinking that all these people walking by are people that build trucks. I don't know if they understand that or not. That we're just truck drivers. We don't know, you know. But you know, the funny part about that was that when Caterpillar came out with their new truck, remember they made their own truck. Caterpillar made their own truck. Pete Ramsey was there. And he was selling the grill guards, and he had, what he did is he had an engineer there taking measurements so that they can make a grill guard that will fit the Caterpillar truck. Well, the funny part is that at the same time there were the Chinese guys there taking measurements of like the frame rails and the like the distance between the what do they call it? The steering axle and everything, and measuring everything and writing all that stuff down. And they were taking pictures like up under the truck and all that. I said, man, they're going to go reverse engineer that stuff and make their own Caterpillar truck.
That's what they do.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy. I mean, I just wish you could get this over with, you know, and I'm hoping that things break loose and we can get back to, you know, I'm so tired of hearing the new normal. I'm sick of hearing new normal. There ain't no normal. It's going to go back to normal or else, you know. There is no new normal.
I agree with you.
Now, this country cannot operate on new normal. I mean, it's just, it isn't. I mean, it's, who knows? Matt's, if they don't get a grip on them people down there in Louisville, there might not be no Louisville to go to, because they're really getting crazy over that deal down there, you know.
Yeah, that'll go away too, because we've seen that before too. We've seen all that, you know, where they show up and they'll riot and they'll protest, and then, you know, once the weather gets cold, they go back in hiding, or, you know, once they win an election, they'll quit doing all that, you know, and everything. So it might take a while to go away. I think that the pandemic and the shutdown and all that has really taken those protests and allowed them to continue, because when they were paying that unemployment, those people were making money, not working, and then able to go, you know, especially the guys that are actually out there rioting and causing trouble. You know, those guys are, you know, those people are like, they're anarchists. They want to break down the system. That's what they want to do. You know, they're the ones that live with, they still live with their parents, and they leave the basement every night at 9 o'clock and go riot in the streets and then go back home, you know, and get their mother to make them a Hot Pocket. That's what those guys are doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm cold-hearted or not, but I'm thinking, you know, they want to burn buildings and burn businesses and, you know, and hurt people and everything, you know. I say you get a tanker, go down through there, get somebody following down through there with a flamethrower, man. Just start spraying them down with gasoline and grab that flamethrower and see how many of them want to burn stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
well, even water.
The streets real quick.
A lot of those politicians, they won't let cops use any of that riot control stuff. Like, you can't use tear gas. You can't use water hoses, fire hoses. You can't use that stuff. That's inhumane, they say.
Yeah, just let them keep rioting and go down there in about January, February. If they want to keep rioting out there, go down there and hose them down with water in about February. January or February up here, they'll feel real good here in just a few minutes. They'll all be standing around there like statues, froze to the ground.
Something else.
It's crazy.
Crazy world.
Problem is, they got too much time on their hands.
That's what it is, yep. Yeah, that's what I've always said, that, you know, problems get created because there's too many people with nothing better to do.
But they're going to arrest them. The ones that they arrest them, turn them loose. They need to arrest them, throw them in jail, keep them, and then clear the streets out, make them riot. When it's all done, they need to take every damn single one of them out there and say, now, you wanted to do this. You wanted to tear stuff up. Now you're going to fix it. You're going to work for free, and you're going to help fix everything that you guys destroyed. Everything you people destroyed, you're going to repair it.
Yeah, well, that's what the member Sheriff Opio out of the Phoenix, that Maricopa County Sheriff down there was arresting illegal aliens, and they said he couldn't do that. Well, what he was doing was he was putting them on the highway, picking up trash and all that.
Right.
You know, he was doing that with them, and they were wearing the jumpsuits and all that, just like the old chain gang kind of thing. I mean, I think that's the problem with the prison systems these days is put more manual labor in there, make them go to work. You know, everybody that goes to jail should be working.
Right. It's like all these at their rest. Well, they ain't got to work for them. Hey, take them back out there, open Alcatraz back up. Take them back out there, dump them out there on that island. Say there's where you're going to stay till you grow up.
Yep. Hey, that might be China's thing. They're building their own islands out there, causing problems. Maybe that's what they're trying to do, is create an island so they can take all their prisoners and just ship them out to an island, build their own island.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I don't know where it ends. I just know that we need to get back to business as usual, because I'm getting antsy for a truck show. I mean, it's last year we missed it. We missed out on a lot, you know, our sponsors and stuff missed out on a lot, you know, and it's just like they got our hands tied, you know, what can you do, you know? I mean, it's just, you can only do so much. Now they, this virtual truck show, how in the hell do you do a virtual truck show? What fun is that? What do you get out of that?
Well, it kind of throws us out, because Redneck and I, we're all about like cooking food and getting together, and there's no virtual way to do that.
Yeah, you ask them, what do you think, you take a picture of it, you put it on there and say, what do you think this would taste like? You know, really?
That's fine.
It's crazy. We just need to get back.
Yeah, well, we got about 10 minutes left, and I'll tell you what, you said the same thing what we talked about before about the sponsors. You know, I was really excited about this year because we had big sponsors step up, like Trucker Tools, and, of course, Hattie over there at DPF continued to support us like she did. And then, we got involved with, Low to Ride Trucking, and they helped us out a lot. And this was going to be our breakout year, where we were just going to have a big get together. It was going to be big, and all the eyes were going to be on us because we had these great sponsors, and I was excited. And when they canceled, my heart broke, because I was really sad for our sponsors, because they stepped up to help us, and they've been great, because, you know, we've been riding it out through them. And of course, we're just going to tag it on and keep going for next year. So we're hoping that, you know, everything will be back to normal so that they'll get their money's worth next year. because
right. Yeah, that's...
they've been really helpful to tell us that, you know, hey, we're just riding this out, so let's keep it going. So we've been doing the best we can.
Yeah, we got a wonderful bunch of sponsors, so we couldn't ask for a better bunch of sponsors. I mean, they're just, you know, Load to Ride, DPF Regeneration, you know, Trucker Tools. It list goes on. I mean, it's great, man. I mean, they've really stepped up to help us, and all we do is do the best we can and hope that this all turns around and we can get back to doing what we need to do. And it's just, I mean, we're all losing out. We're all missing out, you know, and it's just where does it end? You know, it's just crazy. I'm hoping after the election, it all settles down, but you know, only time will tell. That's all we can do is hope.
That's right. All we can do is hope. And of course, prepare, and we're getting prepared. That's what we're doing. We set up contacts, and we've got stuff boxed up and ready to go. You guys went out and got a trailer, so it'll be easier to take everything down there.
We went and got that. I went and bought that brand new enclosed trailer for the group and everything, and we got that all. You know, I'm in the process now. Between now and the truck show, I'm doing the inside of it. You know, so all our inventory and all of our stuff and everything is in there. When we get ready to go, I bring my truck and this trailer and. And Tiffany's going to take my pickup and the group trailer. And we got Aaron working now on getting the logos all made up. I mean, we've talked to Matthew Kane at My Right Load. With Right Load, we're getting his logo on the side of it. Taylor Barker Music. Anybody else that wants on there, we got to check with them first. You know, like Bill Weaver, whatever. Not a problem advertising for them. Like Matthew Kane said, we talked to him over at Holmes County when we went to that Arlene Bennett benefit over there, which was a wonderful, man. That was a wonderful weekend. I mean, we didn't have, we was kind of a little disappointed because we felt like there should have been a whole lot more come out to for that benefit with her than what did, but what did come out, we had a real good time. You know, Descenda was out there and all of them. I mean, they was just, you know, Marcus Summers, you know, him and his wife, they really stepped up. I mean, they pulled that together out there. We all tried to pitch in and do what we could do and raise money for her. And we just felt like that it could have been better, but it was not bad. We did good. But, you know, it's just like, it's come on, people, let's get together. Don't let this deter you from what we do. You know,
right.
And it just, when we come down there, everything's going to be there. So the show goes on, you know, but like I said, Tiffany's going to bring the pickup and the trailer down, and I'm going to bring this down and we'll get a stage figured out and Taylor and them. I mean, everything will be good. You know, we've been kicked down. We've been knocked down before and we always got back up and we'll do it again. They ain't keeping us down. You know, that's not who we are. That's not what we are. You know, we do what we do, like it or not. That's redneck and eyes.
That's what it is right there. Yep. Yep. When everything goes wrong, but the party still goes on, we redneck and eyes.
Right. I mean, we've been kicked around and beat around, so to speak, you know, and we always come back and our followers and stuff and the people that are sponsors and partners, they're the ones that helped us get where we're at. And I will say this, and I will be truthful when I say it, that we will not forget the people that got us where we're at. A lot of people say that. Well, don't forget the people that got you where you're at. You don't walk away from the people got you where you're at, but yet there's some that do. As soon as they get a name and start getting bigger and everything, they forget who put them where they're at and put them in the spotlight. They want to walk away from them people, go do their own thing. Well, that's fine. If that's the way you want to do, but that is not who we are. We will never do that.
Yep.
And that being said, I know you're about out of time, Ed, and it was a good show. I caught just the end of it because I was on my way over here and everything, and I want to try to get this here off and get headed back home. I got almost 800 miles to go back to the house, so I'm just going to see what I can get done, and Man, this old girl's going to ride tonight.
There you go. Hey, make sure when you get back home, you pull out that Road King and get a few hours behind the bars there for a while.
Oh, I've already heard about it. She already told me, you know, you've been out a couple weeks. This week it's supposed to be nice on Saturday. She said, I think we need to get the bikes out and go for a ride this weekend. I told her, I said, yeah, we may do that, you know, get out for a couple hours. We got some errands we got to run and go do some checking on some things. And I said, well, we might as well just take the bikes and go do it on them. If it's going to be nice and cool, it ain't real hot, go do that.
Yep.
But if you get a chance, you get a free minute, give me a call. You got my number. Give me a call, and we'll talk off the air for a few minutes. But, yeah, it was a good show, Ed, and appreciate everything you do. And we all try to do this and make it work and just hope everybody has a nice, you know, safe week out there. Stay safe, you know. Look out for yourself and look out for your other brothers and sisters out here in the trucks, because they've all got, you know, we all got to work together on this.
Awesome. Yep.
So,
awesome.
That being said, I'll let you go and let you, you know, give a shout out to all our sponsors again before we go, and I will talk to you later on.
Sounds good, bud. Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you later now.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye. Yeah, that was Greg. He is one of the founders of Redneck and Nice. He has been with us since the beginning. Actually, I met him at the truck show. Me and him met at the truck show. We'd like, you know, I'd only been here like maybe a few hours a couple years ago. He said never been there before. And we're in the parking lot. And that's what happens. You meet good friends at the parking lot. You know, that's what happens. So we got close, and we kind of, you know, we exchanged information and said, hey, you know, let's stay in touch. And when we get ready to go to another truck show, we'll meet up. And that's what we did. And next thing you know, we're getting together and starting a nonprofit together called Redneck and Nice. And it's the rest is history. So it was awesome. And it's always a great thing. And just like you said, we don't want to be big. We don't want to be like, you know, huge. We just want enough support from, you know, maybe some sponsors or donations, however we can do it, so that we can get to the shows that we want to get to serve food and provide entertainment in the parking lot for the truck drivers. That's our goal. So if you want to learn more about that, you just go to redneckandnice.com and you can see the pictures and videos from the past truck shows. We've got some videos from YouTube on education about trucking and everything. And then we've got the links to our sponsors, and we've even got a link to our PayPal account where we accept donations. We are a recognized charity, 501c, tax deductible donations are appreciated. So you can do that. And of course, you can just send us a message and let us know what you got going on, and we appreciate it. So also, don't forget the Unplug Radio Network. There's five shows during. Right. You got the show on Tuesday night, show on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then this show on Sunday night. So with that being said, I appreciate everybody tuning in and watching and listening. And I hope that. Let's see. We're going to kick it back here and hope everybody has a great week. We're going to start the week off right. Be safe out there. And stay successful. Stay safe. Of course, keep it in the kitchen. And we'll see you guys later.
Found out of Tennessee across the Mississippi is where I need to be. I was hammered down Jackson Town, and he met me head on and he flipped it around. He was slinging mud in the median, disco lights on for some dancing fun. Oh no, don't stop me now, Mr. DOT. Don't leave me alone now. Hey, Mr. DOT, don't stop me. I'm out here trying to feed a family. You got your job and I